We are now into hour number three. Victor Boot is an international businessman, former political prisoner in the United States, former soldier, and he's an elected official in Russia. And I could not have a better guest on today to discuss where the world is. Harrison Smith is riding shotgun with us. 400-plus radio stations that pick us up. You're not carrying the first 5 minutes, but we are on, obviously, on X and on Rumble at Real Alex Jones and rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live and the other systems. So I just wanted to get Victor Boot to give us a prelude on what he wants to get into in this hour with us. Obviously, Trump, for the 50-plus time, has declared victory and says we have a peace deal. Israel is not letting us out of this conflict. You've got mass insider trading going on, confirmed at the White House on these announcements. You have major escalations in the Ukraine war, and it's now admitted by mainline analysts that this is now a new world war, and the conflicts have merged with Ukraine now attacking Iranian ships. Victor Boot, you're on X at Real Victor Boot. People should follow you there. Thanks for joining us. Please give us a synopsis of what you think we should know.
Well, as you're right, we are basically, you know, slow sleepwalking into the huge conflict, which is, even a year ago, it was still kind of the manageable. There is, was a certain, I would say, understanding from the different parties, certain red lines, but they all been crossed many, many times, especially when the Trump, as you said, was manipulated by Israelis and eventually jumped into this conflict with Iran. Now, this cause, first of all, as now everybody understands very, very deeply, and I would say everybody feels it, it's affect all population on the planet because of the rising fuel cost, because of the disruption of the supply chain, of the shortage of fertilizer, and as a background and eventually burning one, Ukrainian conflict. And in this Ukrainian conflict, there is also a lot which happened since 22nd of past month of July. Russia decided to shut down the Ukrainian only seaports at Black Sea. On the region of Odessa, there is three bigger ports. Seeing that the Russian army succeeded to attack all ships which was docked there or going there or trying to depart from there. At the same time, Ukrainian start also basically attacking anything they can find in the Black Sea. Yesterday night, they hit the Turkish vessel, Turkish ship, container ship, which is bringing produce to the Russia, which is now Turkey have to decide. They can't sit anymore on defense. By one hand, they want to have a business with Russia. By other hand, they want also to make business selling arms and supporting Ukraine as a NATO member. So this definitely will affect them too. At the same time, unpredictable situation going within the Ukraine with all this shuffle of the heads of the army, heads of the intelligence, minister of defense, scandals with the corruption, scandal which is Zelensky let himself into the problem with the Poland. Now, plus on top of it, the weather condition in the Europe, extremely hot summer with the heat wave, which basically for the first time for more than 120 years make the Danube River as a main source for the Central and Eastern Europe for supply of all materials, basically go to the very low levels, which force two nuclear power stations to shut down in Hungary and Romania, which is adds, of course, problems. See, at the same time, even the French harvest this year of the grain also would be significantly reduced. Plus, we have, of course, the crisis of immigration in the Spain enclave.
Victor, we've got to go to break. Back in 60 seconds. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Bigly has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, My Decision. and that is ivermectin with minbenzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Well, we could not have a better geopolitical analyst on than Victor Boot, and he's very gracious to give us interviews. You don't see him do a lot of interviews, but he does join us. He's an elected official in Russia and a former international businessman and obviously a former political prisoner for over 10 years here in the United States. Riding shotgun with me is Harrison Smith. I'll be back tomorrow. And I'm going to hand the baton over here in a few minutes. But for stations who just joined us, Victor in the last segment talked about the domino effect. Mainline analysts now saying this is a new world war. The Ukraine-NATO war has now merged with the Iran war. And that's that 500-mile sector there. And you now have the State Department 2 months ago getting $40 million passed by Congress. That was just one of the spending packages. And that being given to Morocco, which means the country of the Moors, who previously conquered Spain, and the crusade started by kicking them out, took hundreds of years to do that. You saw Israel saying, we're going to get you, Spain, for not supporting Midnight Hammer last year with B-2 bombers out of Spain. And then now the war of the last 157 days. And so Israel took credit for that and said, finish the job with the Moroccans. And so now when the fertilizer that's already been curtailed, when that hits now in the fall, in the winter, and next year, you're going to see record level migrant flows there. Again, you have Ukraine hitting a Turkish ship in the Black Sea that's supplying them weapons. Totally insane. A snake eating its tail. You had Victor listing all of this. You now have the Ukrainians going after Iranian ships. So this is all escalating completely out of control. You have Saudi Arabia saying you need to do a deal and end this now. But then you've got generals on TV, on Fox saying, well, we've got to open the strait. The Iranians won't open it. Well, the Iranians have said every time you make a deal, you go back on it. So we might as well just press this all the way through. We believe we have the upper hand with the strait being closed because you won't abide by any deal we do. And you have Trump for the 50 plus times saying, you know, we have a deal. We're talking, pulling back an attack. Trump is literally trapped in this. It's now devastating the economy. We're 90 days from the midterms. And I'm here to tell you, you heard Kyle Serafin last hour, very smart, former counterterrorism agent, the FBI, talking to people he knows high level in the CIA, saying they believe we're about to see a false flag. If you look at everything, either a huge cyber attack, a nuke, kill Trump, blame Iran. When you see the arrogance of the Israelis and the neocons, this is a real arrogance. They're not putting on a show. They've got something really nasty planned. So we need to look at that and talk about that. That's just the next move. It's the ace card, the ace of spades. And we need to talk about any possible off-ramps. Most analysts I talk to say there is no off-ramps now. Well, then this leads into further escalation on the escalation ladder and into total war. So we've basically entered the ice field. We've already hit a few icebergs. Now we're about to hit the big one. If we don't reverse engines and get the hell out of here, even if we had proper leadership, I don't know this can be reversed now because the Iranians are locked in and believing it's existential and they're not going to give up. Even mainline analysts in the New York Times are saying that we have had a strategic defeat. Trump is humiliated. And so we're out of munitions. And so now he's talking about decapitation weapons. I don't know if that means space-based meteor guns, which we do have, which is just DU bombs that are non explosive but are kinetic, equivalent of tactical nuclear weapons. If the United States moves into that, it'll be probably misread as nuclear weapons. And then you've got Pakistan threatening to nuke Israel, North Korea threatening to nuke Israel. If anybody nukes Iran, you have the pundits that are basically Netanyahu's mouth calling for ground war. When I flew out on this workcation, I've never seen the airport so full of military who I guess were told to not fly in uniform. They normally do. They all have their backpacks and their patches. I've never seen so much military. They were all going to the Middle East. So there's that piece of data. I want to get expanded analysis with these data points from Victor Boot and have Harrison Smith guide us through this and then look at what we face on the best case scenario, which is bad, which the worst case scenario, total global nuclear war. I can tell you it's not just elites like Peter Thiel moving to Argentina. It is even in the news that a lot of the ultra rich are actually moving out of CONUS and are not even staying most of the time in CONUS. That is not a good sign when the elites are evacuating. So Victor Boot, people can find you on X at Real Victor Boot. Thank you so much for being here and giving us your analysis. I'm going to turn the baton over to Harrison Smith and you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, again, let's. Okay. Go ahead, please. Sorry. Go ahead.
I wanted to start because this is the rumor that's been spreading today, and I would love your insight on it. It says Zelensky offers ceasefire along front line as Russia keeps advancing. So there are rumors that Zelensky is now looking for a ceasefire. Do you know if there's any legitimacy to that?
Sure. Sure. He publicly, you know, announced his proposal to declare an aerial, you know, ceasefire, not to attack deep strike inside Russia. The same true that Russia is supposed to refrain from attacking Ukraine. But look, Russia did not start that. Zelensky exactly 40 days ago declared his, you know, operation, which supposed as a main target to force Russia into the negotiation table and accept this agreed conditions, which is a globalist together with Zelensky, you know, so hardly tried to sell to Trump during the White House visit, because he tried to say, look, we're attacking them deep inside, we prepared everything. Unfortunately, all these plans have failed. First of all, this was strategically very well planned. They tried to, again, using what they did with the spider web operation last year, try to attack our strategic nuclear bombers, sensitive military sites. They send a lot of the equipment into the Russia. They smuggle the drones, smuggle the weaponry, you know, put a very big web of their agents to be ready and attack simultaneously. Luckily enough, our, you know, counterintelligence was able to get these signals at the proper time, follow them all through, and basically prevent all this terrorist attack within the Russia. They attempt also to cut off the oil supply to Crimea and to destroy and create a fuel crisis in Russia is also didn't work. Just to report you about 2 weeks ago, this crisis was over, and now almost everywhere all restriction on the gas and diesel in all gas stations are also lifted. There is no any more problem with this. So government was able to regroup, reroute, and to rearrange production of these fuels inside the Russia. Same true happened with their so-called plan to counter-offensive on Crimea and isolate Crimea, create their hunger, create the exodus of population, and definitely sabotage the season for the tourists. What they did, they tried using the American supply drones, like a Hornets, to attack the routes, terrestrial routes to the Crimea, where the fuel was, basically transported. About 3 weeks ago, they've been able basically to reduce from daily quantity of the trucks, what was about 12,000, up to the 800. Right now, just, several days ago, the daily traffic was back to around 11,000 of the truck. Army moved enough equipment to intercept majority of the drones. Yes, sometimes they're able to break through, but now at least everything was stabilized. At the same time, as I said, Russia succeeded to shut down the Black Sea ports of Ukraine. Think of this, 80% of the energy is destroyed, over 400 trucks for their railroads also destroyed. They succeeded in many areas, start to attacking their fueling gas station, which their army are using. And in return, Ukrainians didn't find any better than try to, you know, attack the logistics centers of Russian equivalent of the Azon. Or Amazon, which you have, you know, this is a marketplace where you can buy almost everything. Azon, we're talking about Amazon. Wildberries. There is a, it's like American Amazon, and they already burn, on my count, something like 6 or 7 their logistics centers on different sites. And basically, this hurting a poor normal people, business people, who having their products or goods in these platforms to sell to the public. Of course, there is a problem, but we will figure out the solution. Especially, we need, of course, air defense to protect those centers too. And as a return, Ukrainians got that Russia now will smash all their anything related to the any logistic centers. So basically, Ukraine lost their war from point of view. If you look pure, you know, and do the math, there is nothing left in Ukraine as infrastructure to sustain this war. There is nothing left, especially since the attempts of these terrorist attacks on the children. By the way, just yesterday, Ukrainian drones again hit the beach in the Black Sea resort near the Sochi, in Galanjik, you know, nearby, killing 7. Among the 7 was a 3 kids on the beach. And this drone, perfectly knowing that there is no any military targets on this beach, intentionally hitting the people on the beach. So this is a purely war crime, but now we're sick and tired already to tell. And believe me, the population in Russia just, you know, demanding our president and our, you know, military leadership to start really hitting them hard and finish this conflict, because there is no way to negotiate with Zelensky. And all the proposal of Zelensky
and Victor, just to ask a question, since you're going there. Clearly, Ukraine and NATO are trying to hit civilian targets like beaches and girls' schools and girls in a soccer bus to get Russia to overreact. But at a certain point, if Ukraine's basically already lost, what is the point of that? What is NATO thinking that if Russia invades even more, that will give NATO the political support to go directly to war when no one wants to be drafted? The war is 80%+, as you know, in the U.S. and in Europe, unpopular. I see the signs that Zelensky's collapsing. You have the head of the Azov battalion meeting with Laura Loomer and the president meeting with her. Mm-hmm. They're now reduced to that level where she says there's no Nazis in Ukraine and other just bizarre idiocy. So I'm smelling public collapse. I'm seeing real signs of it, not just correct, militarily. So out of all of that, then, what does NATO do? Or could we actually, see Zelensky flee? I mean, what would be the, are there any rays of hope here? And then I'm glad he brought up Russia and Ukraine. That's important, Harrison. But before he goes, I do want to look at the big domino effect globally. And with the State Department in Israel using the Muslim migrants in Morocco. And because Victor's been predicting that and where he sees that going. Please continue.
Well, yes, there is many points, because looks like we're living in this period where it's compounding effect, all happening simultaneously. For normal person, looks like a kind of the crazy creep show. We couldn't figure out what it does it means. We overloaded with all happening at the same time. We sick and tired from position of what's going on with the position of the Trump. He flipping, you know, maybe sometimes couple times a day easily. Whether he win, as you said, what, 48th or 49th time in a row, Iran war, then threatened again to decapitate them. At the end, as you said, he runs out of option. He can't find a ramp off. And Israeli just, you know, there happily, you know, eating popcorn and watching the show going further. For them, this is a dream. America does all the job they want, and when the America exhausted, Israel will rule America. Basically, this is their plan, and through America, they want to rule the world. Now, the look of this, this very clever move by Israelis. They want to get the Arab population of the nearby, you know, Gaza Strip, you know, part of Syria, part of the Lebanon, you know, to vacate the basically the Arab population. And, you know, do this area for the greater Israel project. How are they going to do? Well, we need to create that they're going to go somewhere. So why not to create a scenario where they will be going to Spain? Because Europe, for many Arabs and for many, especially Africans, is a dream destination because of the social welfare. So basically think of the welfare queens in the United States, you know, put this on steroids, then you have European welfare system, and of course these migrants are will going to Europe, especially to such countries like Finland, you know, Nordic countries, Sweden, Norway is their dream destination, and of course Britain, because there there is enclaves where even government can't control the you know small towns in England because the Sharia police ruling there. So this is basically situation. Plus you put on top climate change crisis, you know, shortage of food, disruption of the fuel supplies, and Europe is still trying to manage and figure out what kind of the sanction package they can put on Russia, despite now the Russia is only source left for them of available LNG supplies, and they're still buying it, despite they forbid themselves to buy it. So I just wondering, when the our government will say, hey, you know what, now we will put sanction in this situation, we will not allow any Russian energy to go to Europe just to make sure that they collapse, especially when they have all their many nuclear power stations out of commission because water level on Danube River too low to cool the reactors. So this is a perfect storm. And I'm honestly can predict that the globalists in the, you know, they are in the limbo. They understand their plans are failing. The attempts to stage the global war going wrong way. Trump, being their tool or being their stooge, try to make as much money by manipulating markets, and all his, you know, close circle become filter rich just by, you know, trading with the insider information. And apparently now it's a new norm. I guess, you know, 20 years ago, there is would be at least several prosecution, and the at least, you know, public would be screaming and yelling, and it's at least public outcry will be how it's even possible. But now apparently it's a new norm, and looks like we really need kind of the divine intervention to stop this what's happening, because domino effect now start already, you know, putting one stone after another stone, and it's only a matter of the speed when we all, you know, wake up to the reality. Oh gosh, how happened? And I guess, in my opinion, it's worse than the proper, I would say, World War III. At least if there is a World War III on the classic level, we know who is the warring sides, what they're demanding. At least there is a sober, proper government. At least there is a predictable, you know, people in charge who are responsible and who definitely will act on their best national interest. Here we see appearance of the class of the, it's even difficult to categorize. Those leaders, especially in Europe, who they are they, you know, really French, German, or I would say English? I guess no. They are, you know, result and product of the globalists who groomed them for so many years, and they will do whatever their, you know, a puppet master will do. Basically, they will sacrifice their own population. And we see the example of Ukraine, how the Ukrainian president have no any regards or any thought what will happen with his country in the future. Right now, basically, Ukraine could not exist any more. They destroyed their economical basis. They lost their export potential. And most important, it's the people. And he managed to depopulate the Ukraine. And there is also conspiracy that eventually, if something goes wrong in Israel, basically new Israel would be in Ukraine. Especially, don't forget that the Lubavitch Hasids and the, you know, where the Chabad sect of the Judaism coming, it's exactly in center of Ukraine, near the Uman region.
Yeah, and you can see, you know, big tourism events where all the pilgrims go, and it's this war-torn country, but they're having a big celebration and blocking off parts of the entire country so that only the Jews that are visiting can visit there, and the Ukrainians themselves are kept out. We have more videos every single day of Ukrainians getting thrown into vans and sent to the front line, while you've got videos of Indians and sub-Saharan Africans celebrating their new life in Ukraine as immigrants. So, yeah, a very deliberate and obvious replacement of the population through war. Utterly sickening, but that's actually what's happening. To me, the whole thing just reeks of desperation. Ukraine's attacks against civilians in Russia reeks of desperation. Even Ukraine getting involved in the Iran war reeks of desperation in the Iran war. It seems like the Trump administration is trying to, you know, figure out. In fact, the headline today is that the U.S. military is seeking creative and unconventional ideas to fight Iran. It seems like maybe getting Ukraine was one of these unconventional ideas because they don't know where else to turn. And so it seems like as it turns into World War III at the same time, that's only happening because on all of these fronts, the powers that be, the globalists, are losing face and are sort of just desperately lashing out for whatever they can do.
You're absolutely right. But, you know, the story when Ukraine decided to hit the Iranian ship in Caspian Sea is actually Zelensky tried himself to be a buddy because, look, Europe didn't join United States in attacking Iran. So Ukraine offered its services telling, hey, we can hit Iranians. But when Zelensky came to White House, they've been forced, and the Minister of the Foreign Affairs, Sibiga, was forced to call Iranians, excuse, and offer compensation and to de-escalate, because Iranians, they're not joking. They would be, they've been ready to start hitting Ukraine hard. Unfortunately, it's not happened, but I guess with this kind of the behavior, I would not, exclude the possibility that Iran will join the Russian efforts to finish the situation in Ukraine with the globalists, because now Iran and Russia, basically, we are fighting the same globalist, cabal, who are trying to impose their control over the lives of the people who don't want to be controlled by them.
Right.
And as for the Iran, for Russia, it's also existential conflict. We know perfectly well that the globalists will not let us alone or leave us alone, whether they demanding, they said, oh, Putin is bad, we want a regime change. Well, they want not only to dismember Russia on 35 or 36, small kingdoms and make them fight among them, but they want us depopulate the way they depopulating Ukraine. And you're absolutely right. Right now, in India, the most popular advertisement is immigration to Ukraine. They are trying to recruit as much Indians to resettle in Ukraine because the local population basically finished.
Yeah, it's total depopulation. I'm sorry, Victor, we got to go to a quick commercial break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Victor Boot.
Come on now, Bandit. We got to get this truck on the road.
Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
Let's get a move on!
We've got a long way to go, and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound and run a bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, some devil mind your brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana. And we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down. We're gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot. Where,
oh, I've said that. Well, the other day when I had you guys coming on, I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat. You're your own enemy. He does that to guests. It was like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, but didn't really wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, getmasterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs, that's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
Completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff, it brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. Talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah, yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. You can find us at alexjoneslive.com. Support us at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex as we talk to Victor Boot. Of course, has incredible insight into what's going on the world over in these multiple wars that seem to be coagulating into a single massive conflict, sort of dominating the center of the planet. But there's also these diplomatic tendrils that string out, like the invasion of Morocco, which, of course, is sort of a big diplomatic game, trying to get concessions from Spain by putting pressure on sort of a weak spot of theirs. Can you lend some light into the way that diplomacy is utilized like this? My reading of the situation in Morocco is basically Spain kind of has this. It has a little bit of an issue with these exclaves in Africa, but it's never been that big of a hot button issue. And so Israel and America want to sort of put pressure on that so that they can then turn around to Spain and say, hey, we can turn off this pressure if you simply come along with us and give us weapons and give us, you know, platforms. But people have trouble seeing the diplomatic play happening. They're just looking at what's happening on the ground. Can you try to explain some of that diplomatic maneuvering that's going on the high levels?
Well, unfortunately, the classical diplomacy, as we know, is basically dead, and it was killed by the, you know, several last administration, starting with the first Trump ones, where now we see there is no anymore, you know, classical, I would say, professionals who are dealing with the foreign relation. You know, Trump choose to send not his Secretary of State, or he's sending basically his friends to negotiate on the business terms any deal. And unfortunately, now we have, when the, you know, Trump understanding or his famous art of the deal, he trying to turn art of the diplomacy. And unfortunately, it's not working. What's happened with the Spain, because look, basically Spain have several enclaves. A part of the Ceuta, they have another ones. And basically, they've been doing fine because they are not part of the Schengen, and any Moroccans who cross there, they can easily go into the mainland Spain only through the immigration and passport control. Right. Now, this crisis basically started when the Spanish court, you know, took a decision where they said, well, any migrant or any, you know, alien inside the territory of Spain cannot be easily deported. He have a right for all the due process.
Yep.
And this unfortunately caused a, you know, this, you know, a stampede when, of course, it was also orchestrated and the Israelis put a lot of the, you know, fuel on this fire just to make sure and little bit, you know, give a, I would say, better punish the Spain for their anti-Israel position when the Spain was openly government criticizing Israel what was happening on the Gaza with a basically genocide of Palestinians. And this, of course, you know, this as a result of their, you know, manipulation, because don't forget that the Israelis and Moroccans has the intelligence ties for quite a time. They have a good understanding. So this was easy on making for them. But as I said, look, what's happening with this replacement, so for Israelis, why they want to do this, they want to create a kind of the pump which will suck the Arab population out of the area around the Israel to vacate the territory to create a greater Israel project. And they need to create some attractive points where the Palestinians or other, you know, Muslims can go, and it's eventually Europe. So at the same time, look, the globalist used Ukraine for the past, I would say, 12 years as a playground for their experiment. What we're going to do? And unfortunately, this experiment for many leaders in Europe become very attractive. Think of this. How you remain in power? Well, if you are declared a war or you're in a martial law, then you forget about election. Right. Then you create a system that all foreign aid for your war effort can be recycled, at least half or maybe, you know, less than half are given back as a payback. Then you are corrupting all the leaders who are helping you. And this is how the Zelensky made his way up on this ladder. And he literally became one of the unofficial, you know, Don Corleone, you know, mafia boss of the Europe. Because he corrupted the leaders, he paid them cash, he provided them all necessary, you know, whatever drugs, whatever underage kids for their, you know, creep desires. Mm-hmm. And so he has control over them. So it's basically Epstein reborn on steroids. And this is a big problem because now, as in Ukraine, they also watch very carefully how he control his opposition. Basically, Zelensky in Ukraine succeeded to establish fully police state where no any dissents are tolerated. All the critics are killed or expelled out of the country. People are you know, scared to openly say what they think. We know what this busification, when they put any his special squads hunting the old man and sending them to the front line. So the basically any Ukrainian man on the able age on the street can be caught, sent to the front line, and be dead within, you know, altogether it takes less than 72 hours. How you think the population are tolerating it? Because his oppressive mechanism are so perfect. So he's, secret police. He's these squads who are grabbing all people all around. So, you know, so perfectly working, nobody even able to open their mouths. Right. And only when the West or the handler says, oh, we allowed some protest because you did something wrong against the ex-minister of defense, they allowed some protest. And there is no hunting squads for those protesters on the street. At the same time, basically, if you look on all statistics, as I said, Ukraine has no future. There is no economical ground. And most important, there is no population anymore.
And you look
just
at the...
simple figures from on collapse of Soviet Union, Ukraine had at least 52 million of population. Right now, over 30 years later of the collapse of Soviet Union, on different statistics, I saw estimation from 25 to 21 million population. And it's accordingly, you know, estimation through the SIM cards, you know, of the cell phone operators, of the certain other, you know, criteria, definitely not official statistics. And this is a huge, basically, it's a genocide of Ukrainian population, which done not by foreign enemy, by own government, whom Ukrainians are elected. And this is basically most biggest, enigma, I would say, phenomena for the past maybe 100 years. This is maybe first time in history when we see how the elected democratically leader, a president of the country, committing, you know, suicide with its own country.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the same thing going on in the rest of Western Europe. They would love to be at war because it just accelerates everything they're already doing. They're already putting in, you know, censorship. Correct. And chat controls and stuff. Well, censorship takes on a whole nother level when they're not just spreading disinformation, they're spreading enemy propaganda. So now it has the color of war. So, you know, you can't just shut it down. You shut it all down, which is exactly what Zelensky did. Shut down all the opposing political parties, shut down all of the opposing political news outlets. I think you're exactly right. He's showing them sort of the blueprint and they're following it. I mean, Germany's just, I'm not sure if they implemented it or not, but they were talking about basically closing their borders to any German men who are of draft age. So if you were 18 to 50 in Germany, you had to get permission to leave because they want to draft you and kill you. And you said it at the end of the last segment that this is all about control. They want to control people that they don't already control. And if they try to control them and the people don't want to be controlled, then they get liquidated. They get taken out and replaced with people who are more amenable to the top-down control. It's so sick and it's so in your face. And yet the media here in America, I mean, people have no idea that this is going on. To some degree, our audience and people who watch us are aware of what Ukraine was even before the war, the basically world headquarters for human trafficking and underage sex slavery. I mean, Ukraine was very well known for that. And it's only, of course, increased. So when you say 52 to 20 to 25, how many of those have fled Ukraine and how many of those have died in your estimation? Because, that is one of the biggest, you know, concentrated genocides the world has ever seen. If you're talking 20 million people, how many of them have fled? Not that it matters to the future of Ukraine, but, I mean, those numbers are staggering.
Well, accordingly, what I remember from the figures I just stumbled across, about 5 million Ukrainians basically ends up in Russia, who are decided when the coup happens, who moved later on, who tried to bring their relatives, and there is many of them here, they integrated, they working, there is no issue with them, because they basically this is a Russian people. We have no difference, you know, the way we think, the way we, you know, speak, it's we are the same people. Now, about 7 million of them eventually somewhere in Europe, Okay, so we're talking about already 13 million, mm-hmm. and plus there is also, I would say, long-standing immigration because Ukrainian guest arbiters or guest workers was a very well-known phenomenon way before. They've been widely used in all European countries, France, Italy, Spain, Portugal, you know, eventually because they... went to look where they can, you know, earn some money or more money that they can earn in Ukraine. So total, that's becoming maybe for, you know, another 20 millions plus reduction of the birth rates. Right now, the birth rates in Ukraine collapse like worse in the world. Because of the, you know, this government completely destroyed and neglected healthcare. Of course, there is a war. Of course, there is a shortages of electricity, of the heat in the winter. And apparently now there is a problem. You know, Ukrainians discussing that they need to come to the at least ceasefire or peace agreement before the winter kicks in because they understand they can't survive another winter because nothing is functioning. And this was destroyed as a answer or I would say, you know, response action of Russian side for what they tried to hit, you know, in Russia. We didn't start the infrastructure war. If you remember, it was the West was puzzled why the Russia didn't, from the first day, didn't destroy the electricity grid, bridges, water supply, I mean, name it. That's why Russia declared not the all-out war, but special military operation. They tried to only, you know, bring and destroy military targets. And right now, majority of the targets are hit in, especially Kyiv, are basically Ukrainian military industrial complex production centers or logistics centers. And since Ukraine ran out of interceptors, and despite Trump promised them license one day, then said, no, I never promised. We can't give Ukraine a license. And we never know where is this interceptor will end up. He absolutely right. The Ukraine become a basically huge black market of the reselling American armaments and the system sophisticated weapons to all over the world. And the security factor and the main product now, Ukraine, can export. It's not grain, it's not machinery, it's not the agriculture products, dairy or meat. It's basically terror. Mm-hmm. And now they become very good at exporting terror, and believe me, not on the Russian. By the way, very, very interesting facts. You remember we've been talking about call centers where the Ukrainians used to run in Ukraine scamming the Russians. Mm. And they've been making a lot of money. There was a huge, social problem in Russia because many ordinary people, including some people I know, been victim of this scamming. They're using that they know very well language. They're trying to pose themselves as agents of the law enforcement, telling that they are now part of certain operations. They need to do this. They need to, do something. Then somebody else calling said, oh, your, account at the special program where you deal with government was compromised. The crooks got access to it. You need to move all your money safely withdraw from another account, give to our, a special agent, and he will deposit to the safe account. Many people lost their money. Many people lost their property by this. So this require a lot of the efforts from Russian side to solve it, or at least get somewhat under control. Right. Every day on Russian media, there is a basically advertisement warning them, do not answer unknown people, that law enforcement never will call you on phone or messengers, never offering you to participate in this kind of undercover operations. But apparently, Ukrainians have been scamming Europeans and Americans in the way more, magnitude than they've been scamming Russians. Hmm. So basically, think of the situation. The United States taxpayers, European taxpayers, whatever they can afford, they send everything to Ukraine. Oh, now it's what total count over, I guess, $500 billion with a B. whatever support and help was sent to Ukraine during these last 5 years, and how it comes that Ukrainians, apart of recycling and paying back to these corrupt leaders, have been scamming population of those countries who've been basically supporting them.
Yeah.
For me, I couldn't yet wrap my mind around this, situation.
Well, and it sort of all connects, as you were talking about, you know, the Trump administration being so sort of openly corrupt now, selling their influence like this. One of the big things that got Trump elected in the first place was people so infuriated at Joe Biden and his son and the corruption that they were involved in Ukraine. So it becomes this black hole of corruption and that seemingly Trump is having a great time in and taking advantage of himself now. Totally infuriating to anybody that was actually watching this and was genuinely upset at the way that, I mean, it was a lot of people. It was the Bidens, it was the Pelosi's, it was the Romney's. I mean, a lot of them had their fingers in the Ukraine pie there, you know, getting their own, which I was upset at that because it's corruption. I'm upset that Trump is doing it because it's corruption. And it's sad to see him go down this road. I mean, it really does feel like they are just looting everything they can before they shut it down. Kind of like, you know, a big investment company will buy a small company and just loot it for everything and then bankruptcy. I mean, that seems like what's happening here, not just with Ukraine, but with all of Europe. They're trying to get the most out of it that they can before just collapsing the whole thing. And we know that, you know, Goldman Sachs and BlackRock, I mean, they literally have agreements with the Ukrainian government to rebuild afterwards. So, I mean, they're seeing this as a giant piggy bank, I guess. How does Russia and Iran maintain, I have to admit, they're so patient. And, you know, I wish I wasn't saying this because I'm an American. I wish I could support, you know, my country's actions totally unabashedly, but that's just not the case. And right now I look at the way Iran and Russia, they seem to only ever respond when Ukraine starts bombing their infrastructure. Russia responds in kind. I mean, that strategic sort of patience has paid off and has been very valuable because of the success that they're having now. But that can't be easy to sell to the Russian people, who are probably getting a little bit impatient with the way things are going. Can you talk a little bit about that, about the usefulness of sort of the strategic calm that seems to come out of Iran and Russia?
Well, the Russian leadership got the dilemma whether they're going to declare all-out war or declare special military operation. Well, special military operation basically allowed, Russian society function as normal. Basically, I would say till the, last 6 months, majority of the country has no changes in their lifestyle. Yes, there is was a certain sanctions, certain, difficulties to get the products you've been used to, because European manufacturers, American manufacturers would not supply or shut down their offices and go. But then 6 months, they're basically with the help, and of course, not only help, but I would say with the Ukraine was only used as a cover, start attacking deep inside Russia. Of course, the population also feel the pressure, and the many wants way more, not only reaction or answers, but they want decisive, final blow to the Ukraine to finish this war. And whenever happens, then we will deal later with the, how we construct, what we do with this territory. But for us, this is issue of national security. We can't just leave or sit on the table with Zelensky or any other, because we perfectly know they will just buy the time to rearm, regroup, and continue this war. And it's, for globalists, is ideal idea. It's ideal situation. As, late Lindsey Graham would say, it's the best investment America did. Right. We know Ukrainians basically, for cheap, sacrificing their own lives to do what we want to do, which means to inflict to Russia strategic defeat. Apparently it doesn't work. They're run out of options. They're running out of the ammunition. And still, Europeans forget one, and America, one very important factor. Russia, in comparison to Iran, is a nuclear power, and we have a very modern, sophisticated arsenal of the strategic nuclear weapons, including hypersonic means of delivery, which is United States still only on process of testing. It's already our army have them on their combat duties. So, of course, now in this light, strategic patience of our leadership, I would say it's wisdom. Of course, it's come with the cost. But this is maybe position of adult in this daycare where all the kids become, you know, crazy when they've got the credit card and went to order whatever they want to order. But when the reckoning day coming, who's going to pay the price? Population of these countries. And here we are in the era of developed democracies, freedoms, coming to very strange situation when apparently democracy dying as we speak. I think the democracy as we used to and know it in the West are basically dead. We need to declare that they officially dead and arrange for the funerals. What would be post-democracy world? We don't know. But look how it's going with the election, even in the United States, with the preparation of in Europe, with the, all the ratings of the leadership plummeted very close to the ground level, and they still on power. And believe me, they don't want to leave this power. And for them, Ukraine is a good, you know, playbook how to achieve it.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And I mean, the absurdity of claiming that we are defending democracy in Ukraine when the man is not elected. Ukraine is run by Zelensky, who was supposed to leave office like 3 years ago at this point or whenever it was. I mean, the whole thing is absurd. And I hate to laugh, but it's exactly accurate. The adults in the playground. I mean, that really is how it feels. It feels like our leadership is a bunch of children that are incapable of recognizing the consequences of their actions just a few years down the road. And it's very dangerous, this game that they're playing. I completely agree with you. And it's a bit of an insult to tell us that we're a democracy when they do absolutely nothing to people that they want. I in many ways would rather they just come out and say, no, we're a tyranny, then we'd actually know what we're dealing with. But it's this manipulation is
correct.
Beyond frustrating. Well, thank you so much for being with us, as always, Victor Boot. We got about a minute left. Final thing you want the American audience to know about the current developments in the worldwide conflict taking place?
Well, I think for us, for all the population on this planet, it's really time to come together and decide what we still can do to prevent the not only collapse of economy. We can deal with that. But the problem is, if the nuclear conflict as a world war will break out, it's end of the life in the planet the way we know it. It's end of the human civilization. Then I don't know how many millions years, you know, whoever survives can reach again same level of civilization. But eventually we as a humans either not ready, either do not feel responsibility, because the way we are right now, we maybe can be allowed only to have sticks right. To fight each other. Definitely not a nuclear weapons. Yeah. And until we, liberate ourselves from this global cabal of the globalists and all kind of the Satanist sects, we are basically doomed for the extinctions. So
absolutely.
Let's pray that it's a happening.
Amen. Thank you so much, Victor Boot. Follow him at Real Victor Boot on X.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you, Meta, Facebook is watching you, Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.